Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs you with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at curology.com/Spotify. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required, cancel anytime.
Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you could like, share, subscribe, follow, or do whatever it is that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture twice a week, every week, wherever you get your podcasts. Inside Sports Fantasy Football, where we're covering the latest news in the NFL and fantasy football. Game Source, where we cover the latest news and trends in video games. Plus, you can get the number one Lakers blogger today. That's Laker Tom at Lakerholics.com. Plus, our good friend Jamie Sweet. Go ahead and check out his five things, which will actually be a good five things on the Lakers and Blazers. You can go ahead and check out that today at Lakerholics.com. Plus, our good friend Ox1947 at LakersBall.com. They have great conversations there as well on the Lakers at LakersBall.com. Plus, if you want your lawn transformed into something magical today, go ahead and check it out at SimBlades, SimBlades with a Y.com. And also our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network. You can give them a shout out. Plus, subscribe today so you can get the latest notifications on YouTube when we go live on the air, like our Facebook page and also our Twitch page as well. It is sincerely appreciated. I believe we're on live on Facebook, Twitch. So thank you so much for joining us on that. Appreciate it so much. The Lakers start off this big, very important six-game road trip December that Joe Soro himself had been targeting as far as being one of the most important road trips of the year to see if the Lakers could go ahead and continue riding the ship. They came in with some momentum coming off that great win against Portland, and they were facing off against Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks at home in Milwaukee. What happened? Well, you know what happened if you got a chance to see the game. You got to see the best first half the Lakers have actually played this season, as they span out to, at times, a double-digit lead over the Milwaukee Bucks. Third quarter, they still were able to maintain it, even though they only got outscored by 2 points, I believe. But I'll tell you what, with a great performance by LeBron and AD down the stretch, some clutch play during the course of the game by Russell Westbrook, the big three played like the big three for really the first time in almost two seasons now. Since Westbrook has just landed here in Los Angeles, the first time that all three have really played well together, and it didn't come at a better time because the Lakers closed out really strong against the Milwaukee Bucks and pulled out a 133-129, very exciting victory over the Milwaukee Bucks. Again, if you missed our performance tonight at the Lakers Live Watch Party, you are missing out. Laker Tom was screaming at everybody. And Sean was telling me in advance all the plays that USC was making. So I tell you what, please go ahead and be part of what we're doing at Lakers Live Watch Party. But first up is first man here. Good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check out what he's doing today with, of course, SimBlades, SimBladesWithAY.com, and also as well LakersBall.com. It is Joe Soro. Joe, great to have you here, my friend. A big win. You called it after the Indiana fiasco that happened earlier this week. They had to have this game, and they got that game tonight.
Amazing stat of the night is LeBron and Russell had zero turnovers, and the team total turnovers was four. This was the most dominating game, and the reason why I say dominating is they beat a really, really good team at home. They dominated really from beginning to end. Even though they lost the lead a little bit in the fourth, it was more of just avoiding the run. They avoided it from the third quarter to the end of the fourth with timely hitting of shots, timely missed shots by the Bucks, and that's the end result was that the team won. The Lakers won this game, and they deserve to win this game. They played better than Milwaukee did, and Milwaukee was playing pretty darn well. Russell Westbrook, up until the last two free throw shots, which I won't hold against him, was phenomenal. Best game as a Laker I've seen. AD is getting to the point right now where if this is what he's going to show for the remaining part of the season, and if the Lakers can get just a couple more guys in before the trade deadline, this team could do some things. I'm not going to go to the title thing yet, but that's going to come down to health. But the team was phenomenal. I'm just, you know, LeBron hurting his ankle and coming back and showing doing Kobe things after getting injured. I was just very, very impressed with how they played tonight. This game made up for the Monday game to a certain extent. I would have liked to have had the Monday game too, but we had put an L on this as a handicapper, right? So we lost Monday, gained it back on Friday. Now it's time to use this momentum and this confidence to go in and let's get at least a 4-2 road trip at the very least, and maybe get a 5-1 record as well.
We'll see. That back-to-back next week scares me, though. The Cleveland-Toronto back-to-back, that kind of gets me, especially because it's back-to-back. So kind of worried about that. But if they can split that, I think that's a good sign that they can go ahead and go 4-2, 5-1 on that. So we'll see.
Which one is the back end of that?
That is Toronto. That is you. That's why I asked you earlier.
You know what, Gerald? I feel pretty good with the split if Toronto's on the back end. I really do.
Also here today and sounding good, I'm praising the internet gods that he is for now. We'll see how long that lasts. Good man indeed. He's the madman from Toronto, the guy who can't get out of Toronto traffic. He is the magic man, Sean Grice. Sean, you were with us for our live coverage that Jamie is now joining with us on. Wanted to say thank you so much for being part of our live watch party coverage, Sean. Your thoughts on the game, as you were also sneaking ahead of me on the time on the USC game, but don't look. I see you right there. Okay. But you have me have my head turning, but
yeah,
your thoughts on
me.
The game. Again, four turnovers by the Lakers. Pretty good shooting, even though they really focused in on, okay, we're not shooting well from the outside. Let's push the ball with tempo. 133 points, one of their highest outputs of the year. You've got to be satisfied with what they did tonight.
Gerald, I don't know how you can play a better road game than they did in the NBA against a very good team. Just off.
And they
off
just got they got everyone back. There was no excuses. They got Middleton
no.
back.
Nope.
Yep.
For the first
they
time all
well.
Year, for the first time all year, the Lakers won a game and beat a team in the following four categories. They outshot the Bucks. They had a better percentage from the 3-point line. They out rebounded the Milwaukee Bucks, who had a distinct size advantage, and they also limited the turnovers. They had four turnovers all game. They were plus +7 in the turnover category. And me and Gerald were positing, before the year, what else can they do to try and keep up? And Gerald pointed to, well, they need to create chances in transition. That's either off deflections, off missed shots, and Gerald was pounding the table basically, just run, get easy points against the Bucks. And you know, we won by 4. We probably like Joe said, we probably should have won by 10. We missed you know, half a dozen layups, but a win is a win is a win. I feel really good about where they are right now. Like I said, after that 0-5 start, they're 9-7. So they're right there with everybody else as far as the Western Conference is concerned. And I agree with Joe. I was hoping we could steal one of these games, and I felt very good about going 4-2. So I do. I think we'll go 4-2 on the road trip.
All right, and there you go. Once again, it's the Lakers fast break. The Lakers, with a great closeout to the game, beat the Milwaukee Bucks on the road, 133-129. Want to mention Anthony Davis, 18-27, 44 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 blocks. LeBron James, 28 points, 11 assists, 2 steals, no turnovers, and 8 rebounds as well. 3 out of 6 from 3. Lonnie Walker chipped in with 14, had some good offense in the second half. Russell Westbrook, 15 points, 11 assists, 0 turnovers. The key for this team tonight, with all the transition points, was no turnovers. And also here today to talk about the game, great man indeed. You got to go ahead and check out what he's doing as the number one Lakers blogger that's out there on Lakerholics.com. It is Laker Tom. And Laker Tom, you were extremely excited during the course of the game repeatedly. If they can just, you know, keep up this type of energy. It's so funny because earlier in the game, you and I were remarking about LeBron not getting back on defense. He was not hustling back early. But he saw the energy that everyone else gave on that team, and he realized he had to put out that same thing as well.
You know, what was really exciting about the game for me, Gerald, was not that we played well, but that we responded every single time the Bucks came back on us. When they would tie the game, we would push back and get the lead. When they would have a great block, we would come back and still get the lead. And we did that dozens of times in this game, which was really, really important. Timely shooting, some timely defense, and so forth. So I think what's really important about this game, in the small picture of a win and in the big picture of what the front office is going to do, is this team proved its championship caliber. This team proved, if you saw them tonight, where they gave up 18 points in 3-point differential and then came back against a much bigger team and took 16 of those points back in points in the paint. And then, you know, the last two games, Gerald's been pouncing on the transition. And yes, it's really important that the Lakers, who aren't a good shooting team, take advantage of anything they can get in transition before defenses get set. But the truth of the matter is we won the transition battle 14-12 on Wednesday. We lost the transition battle 14-12 tonight. The way the Lakers are winning is because Anthony Davis is unstoppable inside, and he's taking all of his shots inside. And what we saw tonight, I thought, was a great adjustment by Darvin Ham, in that he put that pick and roll. There's not a high pick and roll with LeBron and AD. This is a pick and roll that started at the elbow or even halfway down to the free throw line. And so LeBron was taking drives where he had just basically one dribble drives. We scored a lot of points in the paint against, we outscored him by 16 points. This is the team that starts two guys that are probably the best two inside guys in the league. In Brooke Lopez and Giannis Antetokounmpo. And yet we took them and we beat them inside the way that they should be. And we got to the line. We were the more aggressive team.
Well, the only thing I say in respect to that, if I can real quick, is the fact that when you transition is so important is because of the pace. Tonight, as you see, 133-129, the pace. The Lakers need a high pace in order to go ahead and make themselves competitive. It's not just about how many points that they make in transition. It's about the pace that they have.
In some ways, I've always agreed with that, Gerald, and I've always been one that's pushed for the high pace. And I've read several opinions in the last two or three months that have made me rethink that again, because for one thing, one of the things that's always held us back is that high turnovers. And one of the things that's held Russ back is high turnovers. And one of the things that's held LeBron back is high turnovers. Now, all of the time we say those turnovers are sometimes worth it because they're how you get 11 assists per game, which is what LeBron had tonight and what Russell Westbrook had tonight. We had two guys with 11 assists. By the way, neither one of those two guys was the starting point guard, Russell Westbrook, Patrick Beverley, or Kendrick Nunn, or
down there.
You know, I mean, basically, we have guys that can make plays, and tonight was sort of a perfect example of how doing it. I said before this trip that I had an eerie feeling that this was going to be a 6-game trip that is going to bond the team together, and they were going to come together and have a sensational performance, and we would equate it with that last weekend before COVID shut down when we took the Clippers and the Bucks both on that weekend. This is the same type of trip that's coming up this time. And it couldn't come at a better time because the front office basically, how big and how aggressive they will be in trading before the deadline is going to be dependent upon how we do in the next 6 games. So this is a great start.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs you with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/Spotify. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required, cancel anytime.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
My last movie that I saw in the theaters was The Last Skywalker. I know, condolences to me.
Wow, man. Nice. I just had talked about that, and I completely forgot that I saw that movie.
Yes.
It doesn't speak great things about it, I suppose.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com.
Once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. The Lakers coming off a fantastic win right now, 133-129. Also here today, man, who's returning to us. All right, just glad to have him here. Good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check out what he's doing today. As in five things. He's been through so much, but he's here still and with his five things articles at LakerHolics.com. He's been through so much over the past couple weeks. It is Jamie Sweet. Yami Swoot is back in the house. Great to have you here, my friend. Your thoughts on today's game? I mean, just a truly outstanding performance by the team. No, it's not going to be a defensive, you know, slugfest, but there were some great signs, especially with AD underneath blocking shots. But the fact that they were competitive throughout this game and they were able to go ahead and control the amount of turnovers was simply outstanding tonight.
I thought that and our ability to, it wasn't a defensive masterpiece, but they took away, the Bucks shot 43 three-pointers tonight and only made, I think, 11. Maybe it was 17 at one of those. It's a non-dividable number.
17 out of 43.
17. Thank you.
They were almost 40%.
That's not bad, but you take that many shots and you from three and you start to see why they shot about 10 fewer free throws than we did. And those 10 more free throws that we took and make really were the deciding factor in this game. And because we're a team that's identity is based on punching you in the gut over and over and over. We're not throwing 3-point haymakers. We'll trade body blows with you all game long because we have some of the best interior scorers in the game, in LeBron and AD. We have an excellent finisher that we didn't have last season in Lonnie Walker IV, a guy who can take it to the rack and elevate and finish the play the correct way. And Austin Reeves, to a less flashy extent, to the fact that he had to remind remind JTA in his mic'd up session, which is funny to listen to. If you go back and find the footage of all the mic'd up clips from Austin Reeves last game, it's pretty funny because like he does this dunk and JTA comes up and goes, "I didn't know you had that." Austin Reeves goes, "I got hops, bro." It's really funny. Crack me up anyway. But we played our game. This LeBron said it after the first game. We don't got a lot of lasers on this team, and we take a lot fewer 3-point shots per game than the average NBA team. And that is our pathway as we are currently constructed. That is our pathway to success right now. You have to make AD be the absolute best and most efficient inside scorer he can possibly be. And if he's not, then we're not going to win, or if he's out and we just start casting up threes, we lose a lot of games and we shoot more than 30, 35 threes a game. We're not a great 3-point shooting team right now. So you got to go with what works. And what works for this team is, and Tom's right, a lot of teams run that pick and roll up on around the 3-point line. Darvin Ham has moved ours about 5-7 feet in, closer to the basket, and letting them take one dribble, one step, little fadeaway runner, little step back, one-legged off one-leg jumper. A lot of our guys can make those shots, and it gives our rebounders, who are all – we got good rebounders on this team. So it gives them an easier chance. Closer in shots don't rebound out so far. Three-pointers, they go all sorts of different directions. And we saw that a lot last year when the team wouldn't take quick shot, three, ball would just bounce out, some guy happened to get it and take it down for an easy score. And those type of plays are what's limited last year. Another thing about this team that I really, really like, and it was something that by the end of last season was really starting to actually kind of piss me off, was last season's team would celebrate an alley-oop dunk as if it was invented before their eyes in that very moment. Somebody would make an epic dunk or make a cool play, and the whole bench would, like, do laps around the arena and shoot the T-shirt guns into the stands and pop confetti, and, like, somebody made a cake and, like, cut it up and served one. It was like we had never seen a play of this nature in the entire scope of humanity, nor could we imagine it happening. This team, a little more professional, a little more serious about the game. And it shows when it gets tight. You're not messing around. You're not joking. You're in the right frame of mind to win a professional basketball game. And that's what you're supposed to behave as. You're supposed to be a professional. You know, don't yuck it up like, you know, everything's cut, dried, and in the back. It's not cut, dried, in the bag. You got to go out and earn that. And this team seems to have that mentality, a little bit more of a workman-like mentality, a little bit more of a chip on their shoulder. And I love it. I mean, it was perfectly encapsulated by that when Russ sold out to get the ball away from Chris Middleton to LeBron on that game, on that play that basically sealed the game. He then compounded that by missing two free throws, which kept the door open for us to lose the game, which I wasn't thrilled with. But, you know, I'll take that sellout play all day, every day, all the time from a guy who's making the most money on the team. That's what you want from the guy who's making the most money on the team. You want them pouring their heart and soul the best they can into the game. You know, would it be great if he shot 48% from three and never turned the ball over? Sure, that would be fantastic. But then you wouldn't have Russell Westbrook. You'd have somebody else. We got Russ right now, maybe for the whole season, maybe not. It's not up to me. So it won't matter what I say, but you know, he's a Laker right now. And I really, truly appreciate how Russ is conducting his business and playing as a Laker right now. And, you know, you can feel it in crypto when you watch the games and when you listen to what's going on from the fans. It's night and day from last season. You can see it in the more intelligent way he's playing basketball. He just seems like, for whatever reason, he's, and who knows, maybe it took him a year to adjust to playing in a city and with a spotlight as bright as in LA. You know,
he's coming off the bench.
It's a lot. I mean, I don't know that would change too much after if he started again. I don't know that it would change that much because I think he's figured it out. I think he's figured out, and it takes people. Some people never figure out how to play next to LeBron. Some people like who are really good basketball players struggle next to a guy like LeBron. You used to see it with Kobe. Some people who are really great basketball players struggle to play next to a Kobe because they dominate the ball, and there's no question that they should. Russ was the guy doing that up until last season. And he's the one who sacrificed the most of his game to make this team work. Exactly what they talked about in that dinner that some of us maybe now wish didn't happen, but it did. And this is the type of thing we wanted to see last season, and this is the type of thing we're getting this season. So I'm not going to lift a gift horse in the mouth. I'm not going to denigrate him for playing hard. And he's playing great, you know, off the bench, starting. I think this whole season.
The best game he's had as a Laker.
Huh?
This game was the best game he's had as a Laker.
I said that on the YouTube chat. I thought this was the most quality win of the Russell Westbrook era. This is the best win over an opponent in the time that it needed to happen in terms of like where, you lose this game to start the 6-game road trip. It just gets easier to lose the next game. Yep. The chips are already down. You're already off on the wrong foot. What is there to, what, who cares? It's just easier to lose after you've lost. But we started off tough and we started off right. And so now the coaches can say, well, we saw you do it against Milwaukee. Let's see you do it tomorrow against, I don't know who we're playing.
Well, they're going to be their next game is on Sunday at Washington.
Even better, 2 days, great.
Well, there you go.
I'd as a Laker fan, I'd officially like to say that can we please for the rest of the NBA community, you can take the leash that you put on Anthony Davis that had Giannis walking him around tonight. AD, put the leash on Giannis and walk him around Milwaukee. That's what happened tonight. Over AD's last 8 games, here's what his averages are. 32.9 points, 15.4 rebounds, 2.9 assists per game, 2.9 blocks per game, 1.5 steals. He's shooting 63% from the field. He's shooting 37.5% from the three-point line. He's shooting 86.7% from the free throw line. We talked about him being special, Gerald. This is special AD.
This is special AD.
Yeah, it's true.
This is special AD right now.
The best part about this is that he's not shooting well from the mid-range or outside.
No, yeah. but
he's, yeah, but Gerald never understood that. Gerald never understood that, Sean. He was.
I know.
He was in la-la land somewhere. He didn't get it. And we're here to tell him again.
Special. I think that's
incorrect. Special.
Go on, Joe. Go.
Special. For two weeks, we kept telling you this. You weren't listening.
Joe, let's rewind back to where you were saying the same thing at the beginning of the season. I don't know about AD. No.
Don't try to flip it on me. No. I'm talking about what Sean said. And I gave him I distinctively remember saying Sean put it the right way. I had never said it that way. Sean said, if we don't have special AD.
It's true.
Your interpretation of that for some weird reason was just an all-star appearance. No, we're talking about like transcendent special.
Right now, Gerald's like, did I say
okay?
No.
So don't make me get up right now.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful for us, but I'm just
Joe's making this stuff up as he goes along.
I'm not.
I'm really happy for him because it seems like he's healthy for the first time in a really long time. And so he's able to play loose and free out there and not have to compensate for, calf or an ankle. He's just playing his game.
Well, we'll see if he continues playing this game. But once again, the Lakers move up to 9-12 after a 133-129 victory. The next game on the plate for us is Sunday, 3 p.m., live watch party for the Lakers versus Washington Wizards. Laker Tom, we talk about 5-1 that you actually predicted on the road trip. The Lakers have to continue that type of momentum. The Lakers cannot find themselves slowing down on Sunday afternoon against a very spirited Washington Wizards team.
No, I think that when you get to a certain level in the league, you understand that there are the games that you have to win, which are the games that you're expected to win. And no team can ignore those games anymore because as we all know, it's the NBA and any team can beat you on any given night. So the Lakers have got to win that game. And they you know, the nice thing about starting off with this win is it's, if there was anything that was clear coming out of the victory, is it sort of put to bed all of the rumors that we'd heard about LeBron and AD can't do it anymore, that the Lakers have no chance at making the playoffs, that Anthony Davis will never be the one to take the baton from LeBron James. I think Anthony Davis is already taken the baton from LeBron James. It happened starting with that four-game stretch when LeBron was out. So, you know, all of a sudden what we've got is probably year one of the Anthony Davis period for the Lakers. This is the year where he now is the alpha on the team, with no question. And even though LeBron got 27 shots, AD got 27 shots too. You know, and we went to him at the end. We went to him all during the game. We're figuring out how to win, and what the front office has to really be happy with is that they can see that we need more size, we need more outside shooting, we need a wing defender, a big wing defender. Get us those things, and this team, I think this team could be one of the favorites to win the championship. I don't think it's just an also-ran that we can still be in the playoffs and be a dangerous, you know, who wants to be the team that nobody expects to win, but nobody wants to play? We're the team that nobody wants to play because they don't think they can beat us, or they're worried about LeBron James, and they're worried about, everybody's worried right now about Anthony Davis playing at this level the way he's been playing. Because it's an insane level. I mean, he was 2 out of 3 from three tonight. Starting to hit that on top of these 8 to 12 foot little jumpers that he's dropping down and shooting close to 90 on free throws. The last 9 games, he's been fabulous and the team has been fabulous. And we have a lot that we can still do. I mean, we have $65 million in expiring contracts that can be swap for better players in 2 packages, you know. And the front office has said how we do in these 6 games will determine how aggressive they are in making deals for it. I think they see an opportunity, and I think tonight was hopefully a fire under the Lakers team. I think that's part of what the front office was trying to do, that was trying to basically say that, show us, you know, come on, LeBron, come on, AD, come on, everybody on this team. We hear all the rumors and so forth. These are the 6 games. You come out and play and show us that we really ought to invest money in backing this team for another championship. This is only game 1 of the 6, but, man, they came out today and they said, we're proving it to you right now. Here and now, put up the money.
Also here today to join us right now is a good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out on his own. There you go.
Bubble AD, baby. Let's go. Bubble AD's back.
Bubble AD is back.
Better than Bubble AD.
Yeah, better
than. Look at Joe's face.
Well, as long as he's staying inside and shooting the predominant amount of shots inside, yes, it is a great.
Nice to see you, John.
Likewise.
Great to have him here. It is John McCallion. Please go ahead and check out his great channels today, starting with John McCallion. John, great to have you, my friend. Looking all dapper with the Lakers gear on. My gosh, watch out indeed. But your thoughts on today's game. Again, the Lakers were able to go ahead and keep a high pace, keep a high transition amount, also as well being able to go ahead and reduce the number of turnovers. I think that was the key to today's game.
Yeah, absolutely. I was really impressed with everyone's play, to be honest. I thought we were going to get blown out before this game started, you know, by 20, 30 points. But I think a lot of us were proven wrong. And, I mean, Anthony Davis, you know, I was hoping that he would step up, and he did. You know, he's big time. I forgot his stat line. It's 44 points. I think he had 15 rebounds. I'm not sure. But overall, I think Bron played okay. You know, he knocked down some important shots overall. I wasn't too crazy about his shot selection. I haven't been crazy about his shot selection for a couple weeks now. But Westbrook, yeah, he played with high energy. He reminded me a lot of OKC Westbrook. He was driving a lot to the basket. He was making really good passes. So overall, I'm really impressed. And Austin Reeves came up clutch as always. So, yeah, really, really big win tonight.
Really big win indeed. John, when you look at the game overall, I mean, obviously they couldn't stop Giannis Antetokounmpo, who still had an outstanding game. But they were able to go ahead and just be able to, even though they gave up more three-pointers, a lot of the inside game was very tough for Milwaukee against a very stout defensive line headed up by Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I was watching the game with my dad, and you know, we were both talking about how, you know, how tall Milwaukee is. You know, from their point guard to their center, they just have so much height. But I thought Anthony Davis and Wenyen Gabriel, they held down the paint really well. You know, even though, you know, sometimes they seemed undersized, especially when Giannis was down there. I think they still did a really good job of playing defense under the basket.
When I say this kind of mockingly, was this Patrick Beverley's best game as a Los Angeles Laker?
It's a very low bar there, Gerald.
It is. 7 points, but I think it was overall his best game. Although at times he matched up against Giannis, and that just drove all of us nuts.
If negative seven plus minus is right. The best, then yeah.
Chris Middleton was just killing him.
Yeah. But still, the Lakers.
Chris Middleton is 6'8".
Yeah. No, but that's the problem.
I mean, Beverly is.
But Tom, it's a guards league.
Right, John.
Yeah, I've heard that one before, too. 6'1" and giving up 30 pounds. Easy.
Yeah.
Well, I will say again, though, that the Lakers did find a great way to win, stayed with it. The energy, the enthusiasm throughout. Again, I said early on in the game, I was very mad at LeBron for not hustling back, something he's been accused of by our audience on several occasions. Early on, he wasn't doing that. But then he saw the energy that was created out there. Sean, you wanted to go ahead and talk about how the energy that was created by the defense that was creating turnovers and transition helped to keep LeBron engaged in the game. And that, I think, was key, especially down the stretch, because he was starting to hit his shots. And once he started hitting his shots, the Lakers were able to go ahead and pull out the victory.
Oh, 100%, Gerald. I'm sure as soon as LeBron got off the bus and felt that cold Milwaukee air, his knees just maybe were not feeling it tonight the way that the other young sprigs were going. But it's what we talked about. He saw the energy of his teammates, and he rose to the occasion. He decided to step up and match their energy level, even though he probably wasn't feeling it. It was great to see. Darvin Ham basically said that after the post game, that was the first game he's seen everybody on the same page.
Gerald, we have a spammer in the chat.
From a defensive point of view.
That's what I get for turn off the spam.
69 Mega.
Welcome,
69 Mega's back. Yeah, they want to get in on the action tonight too.
Yeah, I want to respond.
I just don't want to see a lackadaisical effort on Sunday defensively. Yeah. I don't want to see a pattern of them having a great defensive performance and then they decide they're just going to waffle their way through, you know, a 48-minute game. You know, you need to come out with the same level of energy and effort. If they do that, I think they'll win on Sunday.
Well, hopefully they'll be able to go ahead and continue this momentum that it's getting everybody excited. Richard said this was the best game he's seen them play all year. Let me ask you, Joe, is it the best game that you've seen them play all year?
Yeah, actually, probably yes. The reason why is the degree of difficulty, the fact that it was a road game, and considering you won your first two road games just, a week ago?
Yeah.
This whole game, I mean, Russ had, 8 assists in the first quarter? AD was dominant the entire game. LeBron, somewhat maybe debilitated, still dropped 28 and 11 and passed Magic Johnson for, you know, an assist. Zero turnovers between those three. That is phenomenal. And even when they were close, even when Milwaukee took the 1 point, 2 point leads, they were, what's the word? They were not artificial, but they were
bionic.
No. the when they took over the lead, it wasn't like they took the lead over because the Lakers were faltering. They were just making threes.
It felt transitory.
There you go. Transitory. Thank you, Sean. Never used that word before, so now I'll remember it. You didn't feel like the Lakers were out of it, because typically when you've, let's say, you know, had a 6-7 point lead and all of a sudden the other team takes the lead, it's usually because of maybe a lack of, you know, concentration or focus or not playing correctly. But it wasn't that. These guys were making threes left and right. They were bouncing all over the backboard and going in. So as soon as the Lakers were able to sustain their run and sustain their flukiness, and then in the end, you know, Russell Westbrook put a nice little button or a bow on the game by turning into Derek Fisher. Derek Fisher won us those kind of games numerous times, where a 50-50 ball, if D Fish was anywhere near that ball, he was getting it. And Russell Westbrook, when I saw him turn into Ricky Henderson, it was like you knew he was going to get the ball. Got it. LeBron did this pirouette. You don't want to talk about athleticism. Go back, if you guys recorded that game, go back and see how LeBron stayed on his feet during that play. There was no reason for him not to fall down. He stayed upright, got to the hole, got it to AD, and AD ended up flushing it down to me at the game winner, even though Russell Westbrook missed those free throws. I didn't feel like Milwaukee was going to hit a shot after that. I don't know. For some reason, I didn't think it was going to happen, and it didn't. By far, the best game, not only this year, but the best game the Westbrook, LeBron, and AD era have had in the last year and change.
I agree with what Rexit was saying. The Pacers L must have been a wake-up call for the team. It certainly served as such, because we talked about the lack of effort and the lack of rotation on that last play.
Yeah, okay, so we were hard on Westbrook and LeBron, rightfully so. Those were massive veteran mistakes, because you should be, I know you get caught up in the game every once in a while, that's fine. You make a mistake, that's fine. But that should never have happened. Those guys should have been stuck on their guys by the time Halliburton picked up his dribble. They should have been on their guys. There's no way anyone should have been open for a wide open three, and especially coming from veteran players like LeBron and Westbrook. So maybe Ham heard us on that show, the post show. I said, if I'm doing film that next day, I'm on LeBron and I'm on Westbrook going, look what you guys are doing here. Don't ever let this happen again. And what a way, you know, two games later to make up for it by playing, you know, top two team in the East that's probably going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals, and not only beating them, but playing championship ball. This was a championship game. This was not the Lakers kind of caught Milwaukee off guard on a Friday. No, this was AD even beyond the bubble AD. This was special ADG. Special.
He was playing with so much confidence.
Yes, and LeBron playing well enough to where it's still not enough. We're kind of criticizing him. Imagine that, 28-11 playing 37 minutes. And then, of course, Westbrook playing the best game of his Laker career.
Wonder who's back? Kenneth Stone is back. Still saying keep Russ. Still saying keep Russ.
At this point, I think you do keep him.
I don't know. Yeah. What you do as far as, you know, if you keep him through the rest of the season, the things you do as far as the salary cap is concerned and what that does to you if you do keep him, and the residual effects of that, as far as the lack of trades that Laker Tom has warned us about, I think that's something you guys got to consider about that, because if you don't have tradable assets to move, you can't get better. And just because that $47 million wipes off the books, that helps the Lakers, but doesn't help them enough because of the fact that they'll still be over the cap in the first place. So you're on mute, Sean.
No, I'm still here.
Yeah, I got it. Just, it was a little technical glitch
there.
I love that mic, Sean.
That mic.
He said Sean, not John. John.
Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate it.
Yeah, snowball. I caught on, Joe.
Kenneth Stone is saying everything right now. He's saying, you know, you should have listened to him the whole time.
What,
and
giving us a second chance.
Going 7-2 in the last nine here has bought them some time to actually evaluate what deal they think would bear the most fruit. It's not like they have to make a panic move here. So I agree with what John's saying here. I don't think you trade him right now. I don't think you trade him December 15th either.
Well, I will say again that the Lakers overall played an outstanding game. Very little to fault on today's game. They really just did a great job. But once again, the Lakers do win 133-129 to head to 9-12. John, any continuous thoughts as far as the overall aspect of what they can do, how they can take this momentum into Washington, and what will they end up on their road trip?
Yeah, for me, I think we you guys were talking about it earlier. I heard, I hope that they don't go into Washington too comfortable because, they played Milwaukee, was one of the best teams in the NBA, and you have Washington, who's a decent team. So hopefully, they don't play down and they play with a similar intensity and get that W because, they need as many W's as they can get right now.
Well, we'll see again what they'll do. 3 o'clock on Sunday is the game. Joe, do you have any thoughts before we head on out, my friend?
Since we're talking about, the trades, even though I don't want to talk about this at the moment with all the good stuff going on with the team, but I think it's important, especially with the success of the starters, right, and the main guys, which, playing LeBron 37 minutes tonight, as I know we won, but that's going to be a problem down the road.
We mentioned it earlier this season.
Yeah, there was something that came out today from Zach Lowe, that there's been some internal talks with Chicago for DeRozan
and
Vucevic. Now, both of them make $40 million together, which means you're going to have to, if that trade was to have a chance, you're going to have to include Russell Westbrook. My interpretation of that is I don't know if you're really improving the team that much to, again, in terms of title contender, if you're changing this Westbrook for DeMar and Vucevic. I can never pronounce his name, Vucevic. So I don't know that. However, if they can somehow, they're going to have to give a draft capital in that either way. So Vucevic is a expiring contract.
I would rather go for Porzingis personally.
Porzingis is not going to stay healthy enough to do anything.
He's playing great defense right now.
If he stays healthy the whole year, yeah, there's a chance there. But
like
DeMar.
I'd rather take him than Vucevic.
Has another year on his contract. Will the Chicago Bulls? What was that?
It's just Jamie being hilarious.
Jamie and John says no. I see.
Yeah, we're shooting down Gerald's terrible trade idea. Sorry,
we can't have AD, LeBron, and Porzingis all on the same team. They're all injury prone.
Gerald hasn't been too special lately.
Oh hush!
So,
you know what? I remember. I'm gonna get the clips earlier this season
this?
When you were talking smack.
Does this sound familiar? See this? I'm doing this to you now.
Okay.
The
just
Lakers.
Like when Joe yesterday.
Yeah, there you go.
Made
see?
Mistakes
there you go.
Yesterday.
What mistakes?
Elgin Baylor.
Yeah, but at least I owned up to it. You're not only owning up to your mistake.
I said I would get back on the AD train. You guys.
No, see, and that's my point. You're not listening. Sean said special player, not all-star AD. That's not enough. Brandon Ingram was an all-star. D'Angelo Russell was an all-star. We're talking about special.
I did say special.
Yes.
No, you didn't. You didn't understand what special
means. You don't understand what special. You're looking
special means.
You're looking for bubble AD. He's not there.
You don't understand what special means.
He doesn't shoot from the mid-range. Like
you're still going this way, man, and we're going this way.
I'm sorry. I literally just had this conversation with my four-year-old upstairs, so I'm having a little deja vu.
He's
you'll have to
shooting 4 for 5, which is best. That's why he's doing so well, because he realizes he's not.
All right, kids, let's play nice.
So here's the thing, guys. We're gonna need a owner that says we don't want to pay this guy, this good player, another year, right? Let's get this expiring contract and then ship him out for a first round pick. So the question I have for you guys is, Vucevic is out of the question for me because you don't have enough money to, unless you send out Westbrook. And I think it's somewhat it's somewhat, I don't know, what's the word? Lateral movement? That's the word I was looking for. It's a lateral move if you get those two guys for Russell Westbrook and a draft pick. If you get DeMar only, and why I'm picking on the DeMar is, or DeRozan, is because he does have another year on his contract, $28 million. Will the Bulls want to get out of that and take the expiring contracts of Bev and Nunn and then get a first-round pick? Would the Lakers do that to get DeMar? Because if you get DeMar for those two guys and a draft pick, now
there's not enough money in that deal.
Well, you would have fillers in there somehow.
You know, maybe
get a third team. Maybe get a third team. I don't know. But if that,
what's a third team really going to get, though?
I believe if this is Reinsdorf we're talking about, so don't be surprised. If Reinsdorf says, I don't want to pay DeMar, we're losing anyways. I don't want to pay DeMar $28 million next year.
Right.
And we can get rid of him now and we get a first round pick in 27 or 29, you know, that's unprotected. Hey, that might be a good deal.
DeRozan's no longer a guard.
And we need it, and that's scorer. Good. We need a small forward, so that works because we have 50 guards.
50 guards.
Yeah. So if you want to give this team a shot, guys, that is something realistic and possibly special.
How do you spell special again?
S P G E R A L D.
S P A T I A L.
Oh, I'm special. Thank you so much. I appreciate you saying that. Absolutely. AD is playing some of the best ball since the bubble. So
I think this AD is the best. Yeah. This is AD.
So he had a run in 2015 when he was with the Pelicans.
See, Sean, see,
that's a long time ago.
We should not say
a long. That is a long time ago.
We should
not talk anymore.
We should just let Sean talk. Sean knows what's going on.
That is a long time ago. But
I'm gonna mute. I'm done. But, here, Sean, go ahead.
You know,
thank God.
He was 22 then, and he's playing like he was 22 right now, even though he's 29. And it, like I said, it feels like for the first time in about maybe 20 months, he finally feels healthy.
Yeah.
Like, and up here too, like he's not worried.
Somebody knock on some wood, please.
Yeah. Because
seriously.
Yeah.
Jamie, go knock on your back wall behind you.
I'll knock on my jersey.
I just knocked on John's head.
Knock all you want.
But Even he sees when he is aggressive, assertive, dominant, there's nothing that can be done. There's absolutely – he's too long. He's too smart. He gets to the line. He gets to the line whenever he wants to.
Does he?
It's just a matter of, is that motor constantly going? So for the past 9 games, he's just been – he's willfully – taking people to the hole and just showing no mercy. This is no mercy AD.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's something we needed to see a long time ago. We needed to see it. You were worried about to begin the season when he was struggling. So we weren't sure what we were going to get, but he's playing better than probably virtually anyone in the league right now. So now he's trying to vault himself into that MVP conversation and he's getting very close to it. As long as the Lakers keep on winning, he's definitely going to be up there. So we'll wait and see. But once again, the Lakers do come out the victors after a very hard-fought victory, 133-129. I was with you, John. I thought that at some point in time, the Lakers were going to do an El Foldo act and just, you know, forget about it. It's going to be a nice try after a great first half. The third quarter, as we stated before, they've been one of the worst teams in the NBA in the third quarter. Yeah. But they held firm. And they stayed strong, and I thought, you know what? That built some confidence with this team on the road with a tough victory. John?
Oh, For me, I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm like, okay, well, you know, they're playing well the first half, but I was worried about the third quarter. I was like, you know, hopefully they don't let their guard down because Milwaukee will make a run. So I was actually impressed that they were able to sustain the high energy and really consistent play throughout the game. But I was thinking while I was watching this game, because Westbrook, I mean, LeBron, I think this season, out of all the seasons that he's played, you could tell the biggest difference because you know, especially when it comes to jumping or driving to the basket, he just doesn't have it anymore. Or at least he's not, you know, he's not using his energy. Westbrook is taking a lot of that pressure off of him. He, you know, he's making plays, driving to the basket, passing the ball to LeBron and AD. So if you do trade Westbrook, wouldn't you be putting a lot of that pressure back on LeBron?
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, though, with Westbrook, you don't know which Westbrook you're going to get. Are you going to get this fantastic Westbrook tonight, or the one that when it comes down to the stretch minutes? We've talked about this for weeks now. Those last 2 minutes of the game have been very tough for him because he tends tendency to go iso ball, makes mistakes down the stretch. Even tonight, he actually missed those very important free throws, and AD bailed him out. So, I mean, with all the great things that he did tonight, remember, Joe, he did miss those two free throws. He just needed to hit one. These are the things down the stretch.
Yeah, but he doesn't do stretch, if he doesn't dive for that ball, you can make it a wash.
Exactly.
Okay, but wash. Then again, okay, we talk about Russell Westbrook down the stretch. He's been struggling down the stretch in a lot of games this year. This is something that's been
literally went down and stretched and won the game for us.
Yes, but shall we talk about how the other games have gone?
It doesn't matter. We're talking about tonight. We're talking about December 2nd.
The Lakers are 9-12.
We're talking about the
special
game today.
No, we can't. We can't. Tonight. But I'm just saying, you've got to make sure when you have Russell Westbrook down the stretch, you've got to make sure that he's
USC.
Okay, that's he's in the game now. See, he sees the plays well before I do.
No, Sean Westbrook went to UCLA. I'm just kidding. Yeah,
Russ did not win this game, Kenneth. Russ played an outstanding game. It was a team victory. It was a team victory. You cannot tell me Russ won this game when he got AD playing like he did. Special AD playing like he did. LeBron hitting three-pointers and Lonnie Walker in the third quarter giving the team a lift when it started to go awry. So well, it's a team game. It's a team win. So we'll just leave it at that. But once again, the Lakers do win 133-129. Come back when you can, Kenneth. We're welcome to stop by on the show. We miss you having you on the program. Talking.
Come on back tonight. Why not?
But before we head on out, guys, I don't know if I think I might have sent the link. I'm not sure. But I will say, though, that before we head on out, Jamie, I mean, what do you see the Lakers doing for the rest of this road trip? Because, again, this is a very important road trip. Joe was right 2 weeks ago when he already looked into the future and told everyone how important this road trip was.
I mean, this isn't the Grammy trip. It's always that early season, you know, 2 week roadie. There's always there's always two epic road trips in Liquorland. And they even kept it when there were no events at Staples or in LA Live to take over the area. I think just because it was like, why should we mess with their mojo for like one or two seasons? Like they're always, the Grammys are always going to happen. The Oscars, everything's going to happen the way it always happens in LA eventually. Like, let's just keep that in place and not screw with stuff too much. And so it's these two road trips that often define a Lakers season for better or worse. Not always, but oftentimes you can go back and look at those two road trips and have a good idea of like what lays in store. And last year we blew it on both road trips. We played terribly on both road trips. And that very much did define last season, as did preseason, which that was basically all anybody needed to see to know this team wasn't going anywhere. But what I like about this Laker team so far, and if they can continue to do this on this road trip, I think that it will bode for positive things in the future, is that they do learn from their mistakes. And they can take it on the chin and get back up. And they take the game seriously. Just those three things. I'm not talking about some guy who makes X percentage of threes on some team that isn't our team with LeBron on it. I don't believe that the NBA is plug and play. I don't believe you can trade for a guy who shoots 8 threes on Indiana and expect him to play the same way here in LA. In fact, if anything, based on the carousel of three-point shooters we've had coming through this league, or I'm sorry, through our team for the last three seasons, that is what you should expect if we get Buddy Hield. He'll be like 4 shots a game, won't be shooting 40% on threes. Everybody will be like, what happened to Buddy Hield? And it's nothing happened to Buddy Hield. He's just not in a good situation for his game.
This is the Bermuda Triangle for 3-point shooters.
It's where 3-point shooters' careers go to die, man. It's like the elephant graveyard.
Jason Capone wins back-to-back 3-point contests. He signs with the Lakers and can't hit a 3-pointer to save his life.
It's because Adam the pressure. Morrison.
Yeah, it's a bunch of things.
That golden armor is heavy, guys. That's why.
The golden armor is heavy, but I also think that like some of it is historical. The Lakers' historical identity is the big man. AD's playing like a historical big man right now.
The only real shooter who didn't lose his touch when he came to the Lakers was Glenn Rice. And that was for one year.
And even he complained more about his role than Russell Westbrook has in a year. Even he had to get his wife involved to complain about his role more than Russell Westbrook ever has in a year and a half. Russ has taken a boatload of dookie last season from the fans, from the media, from players who have done nothing in this league. And you know what he did? He didn't pout. He didn't sulk. He didn't let it affect who he is or how he plays. And I will never argue that Russell Westbrook is a good fit on this team, but I will admire him for the grit and tenacity that he has displayed as a Laker. He could have very easily taken his $47 million and pulled a Kawhi Leonard. My knee's kind of sore. I don't know if I can play for 3 months. Easily. No one would have pushed back against it. Nobody. Everybody would have been like, cool, Russ, no problem. He didn't do that. He shows up. He takes the punches, and he gets back up. And honestly, nobody's going to like hearing this. This team has a very Russell Westbrookian identity right now. It's not pretty. It's not cute. It's not flashy. It's just, I'm going to go do it, and it gets done. And so, you know, are we going to win a championship this year? I don't know. I didn't think we were going to win a championship.
Yes, we are, Jamie. Yes, we are.
Listen, don't get yourself into the prediction game where you're going to end up like Laker Tom, where every 2 weeks I'm like, so listen, 2 weeks ago, and then 2 weeks before that, and then 6 months before that, and then 2 months after that, but before when we're talking now, you made this prediction, and it's been wrong every time, so I'm forgive me if I just stop listening and tune them all out because
sound like Jordan Brown right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't get. It's not my job. I'm not gonna tell you know. I'm not gonna go tell Joe what I think he should do with fake grass.
You should.
Joe is gonna know far better than I how to use fake grass in the environment that it ought to be used in. I'm gonna bet. Yeah, I'm gonna bet $800 right now that if you and I went to Joe and said, what can you do with my lawn? Well, I don't have a lawn, but point being is that I'm not the GM of the Lakers. I will never be the GM of the Lakers. I guess I lack the hair or something. I don't know what I lack.
It's because you don't look like a famous actor. That's why.
I've never applied for the job either. That might have something to do with it. But I didn't see it posted on Craigslist the last time I was looking for a job. So
LinkedIn. That's why.
Oh, man. I hate that website. Point being is that I'm not going to tell. I can say what I think should be done, but it really, truly doesn't matter what I think should be done. I really like to confine myself and reserve myself to commenting on what happened because that we can actually talk about. We saw what happened. We can talk about it. What's going to happen? Lamar Odom had a great saying, which is funny for Lamar Odom, considering how things worked out. And it wasn't his, but he didn't invent this saying, but he was the first person I think that I heard use it. And I thought, oh, that's cute. And he was like, God has a way of laughing when you tell him your plans. And it's like, right. That's what predicting trades and predicting what's going to happen in the NBA or sport or life is. I mean, it's fun. Have fun. By all means, enjoy it. Those of you who enjoy doing that, don't let me be a wrench in your gears. Go right ahead and do it. But don't expect me to get excited or like, you know, I'm going to be like, yeah, maybe. Well, maybe not. That's all we can say about it. Might happen, might not. There you go. There's no saying anything that's going to happen. Nobody saw the Lakers starting 2-10 and then turning it around like this. Nobody predicted that. Nobody predicted the Westbrook trade for crying out loud. That came out of nowhere for most fans. You know, this is what we should be learning is that you don't know, but enjoy it. Enjoy it for what it is. Enjoy this moment. We're never going to have Russ, LeBron, and AD on a team again once this breaks up. Maybe not even after the summer, but it might be together after the summer. You never know. Bird rights, baby. Bird rights. Listen, I floated that idea on the blog and was roundly dismissed. Then it started coming out from guys like Javon Buha, and I don't even know who their names are. And I was like, yeah, because it makes sense for a team that's A, doesn't like to spend, B, strapped for talent, C, has limited assets with which they can improve the team. Russell Westbrook's bird rights are, in fact, quite valuable. So, you know, does anybody want to hear that?
Matt Ryan, we even waived Matt Ryan to save on the
cap. No, I don't understand. Yeah, can we just say thank you for your service, Matt Ryan, right here and now, because that buzzer-beaten shot turned the season around. Yeah.
He will forever be beloved.
Right? Way more than Adam Morrison was ever beloved.
No.
Adam Morrison was not beloved as a Laker.
No, this is completely different. Matt Ryan 100%. Worked for DoorDash, and then he hit a game-winning shot for the Lakers. Like, whatever happened in Matt's – whatever future happens in Matt's life, you're beloved by the Lakers fans forever, bud. 100%. Thank you very much.
Does anybody disagree that that shot kind of turned the season around? That was our second win. That led to our second win of the season.
It was a turning point for sure.
That was the moment where you kind of were like, oh – Somebody's got some grit on the team. I mean, we let him go for nothing. Like, that's the Rob Pelinka way. Oh, no, whoa. Hey, let's not play too well here. I might have to let you go for nothing, all right?
I have a question for the panel. I have a question for the panel. Do you guys think that there's some type of chemistry between LeBron, Westbrook, and AD and the rest of the team now that you know, they're all playing well. Do you think they've developed some type of chemistry and they enjoy playing with each other?
I think they always have.
I don't think they enjoy
not always. Not last season.
Not always. Do you remember Summer League? They weren't even talking to each other. Do you remember what I said
about Summer League? Which was that it was nothing. It was no big deal. Who made it a big deal? Media people. What do media people do?
I'm finding more and more that it does look like Russ actually, his body language, he looks comfortable out there.
He's
with
having
them.
Fun.
Yeah,
he's having fun.
That's what it looks like. What it looks like to me too, John.
It's contagious with the rest of the team.
We'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.
Needing an edge for your fantasy football team? Listen to the guys at Inside Sports Fantasy Football for insight that will help you reach your league championship. That's Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Check it out today on your favorite podcast outlet.
So I asked you guys before we head on out, you know, as the Lakers move within a game and a half of the play-in tournament.
We're only three games out of the fourth seed.
Joe, after the 0-5 start. Since you've been very quiet on this, where do you think the Lakers will end up by the end of this month?
I'm not going to predict because, you know, it's waste of my time.
No more one chip challenge for you.
Well, no. By the way, that one chip challenge was a joke. it did nothing to me. Here's how I'm looking at this. If this is the AD we're going to have for the next 60 games, are we what are we at? 9 and 12, right?
Yeah.
63 games. We're going to win 50 games. I'm serious.
Let's hope he stays healthy for 50 games.
Think about it, guys. Think about it. If this is the AD we're getting and he doesn't miss more than a couple more games, this team's going to win 50 games.
Maybe if there's another global pandemic.
I don't know.
We have to lock down for 4 months.
The Lakers have been playing phenomenal ball. I mean, if you eliminate three minutes of that Pacers game, they've been playing like this all for the last week.
I love the optimism from Joe.
It's not optimism. It's simple. Just understanding that this guy's game translates to wins.
I was thinking about this, so they were 8-12. Now they're 9-12. Before then, I was thinking, You know, there's 62 games left. I think they could go 37-25. So that would make them 45-37. So you're saying 50, Joe?
I'm you said 37. There. You said 37-25, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I can see them winning.
I could see them winning 40 out of the next 61 for sure.
If AD's doing what he's doing, obviously you still need Westbrook and LeBron to be, you know, 1A and 1C, right? It's just I'm watching their chemistry. I'm watching how AD's game. He still looks like he's not really giving a lot of effort. That's just the insane visual, because I'm paying attention to body language. Like, you look at LeBron today, he looked like he was tired, right?
Yeah.
AD looked like he's been looking like he's just strolling the last 10 games.
He's taking better shots.
If this guy is going to play like this, they're not going to lose a lot more games. They're going to win a hell of a lot more games. Yeah. So I'm just saying, you have 12 losses. That means 20 more losses, right?
I like that. Let Sean speak into his magic 8-ball, Joe.
let him serenade the 8-ball.
Well, you...
Who's got that? Don't turn that on. Please don't.
Copyright.
I just wanted you to know how special you were, Joe. I think we have up to 15 seconds,
so we're good.
That band is a very
good. I already have Facebook on my ass every single time out when I post something.
So that song might be special. Never again. That band is meh.
Agreed. Anyway, let's get back to the point. I like Joe's enthusiasm. 50 games does seem
that would be a huge turnaround. Like 50-32 in recent history, if you started 0-5 and got to 50 wins,
we're at 21 games, right?
Yeah.
Well, that means we have 61 games left.
The Lakers by the end of this month can get
61 games left. That means they would
in the right direction.
You have 61 games left. That means they would go 41-20.
Yeah,
you get this AD the rest of the year. That's a very realistic record.
Well, yeah, considering we on this streak he's been on, we've gone 7-2 in the last 9. So yeah, winning 2 out of every 3 game. Yeah,
I have a tendency to agree, petting my cat. I have a tendency to agree. I think that's a little bit high and up there. I just think 50 wins.
Let's say LeBron has to take some time off.
Well, hold on. Let's frame it a different way. Let's say that AD does.
They were winning when LeBron was sitting, guys.
That's right.
I'm just saying, it was against
the Spurs and the Detroit Pistons, who are terrible.
Right. Which is something they didn't do previously.
Which is something they blew them out. They blew them out too, guys. They didn't just win.
I'm not. I don't want to nitpick. I'm agreeing with you in principle. I think you might be shooting high with the win total as all. But point being, if LeBron, let's say LeBron only puts up like 27-7, right? Which is about what he's doing now. He's a little higher than 20, I think. You think he's like 23, 24 per game. But if Lonnie Walker and Austin Reeves continue to play like they're playing right now, I think that Joe could be onto something. AD alone is not enough. It's never enough for just one guy to be great. We saw that in the season that Kobe Bryant destroyed the league single-handedly and missed the playoffs. We saw that in the season where Kobe scored 81 points with a team of nobodies that he dragged to the playoffs and was knocked out in the second round. One great player is not enough. You need a great team, and you need a great number two. And if LeBron and AD can flip and LeBron becomes AD's great number two, hits those open threes, makes the plays when he can make them, which we all know he can, stops with the half court touchdown passes, like we almost saw.
ISO.
Right. That's how we lost that other game. Right. We went away from driving and dishing, and we went to LeBron step back fadeaways 15, 20 feet out. That, you know, hey, he makes it, great looking shot. But when he misses it, it gives the other team a chance to run it down your gut. And that's exactly what that young Indiana Pacers team did. So if we can learn those lessons, like we have for the last two games, and look, it's got to be hard for LeBron, who should get, you know, let's acknowledge that LeBron James passed Magic Johnson on the all-time assist list tonight. Dude's a legendary player. Great job. You know, thank your teammates for making all those shots. But, you know, if you can see LeBron as that secondary role, and if Russ keeps just doing what he's doing, I don't want him to play any better or worse than he's playing right now. Just whatever it is you're doing right now is fine because it's working. It's working off the bench. I think Austin Reeves should start over Patrick Beverley. That's just a personal opinion. I also kind of like him off the bench, but I just think he's deserved. I think he's earned a starting spot, to be honest. That's what I really think. And they're giving it to Pat Bev for his leadership and defense. And I'd like to call on Joe Soros. I believe he has something to say.
Okay, I have one question for you guys. This is kind of tailing into this, and then we can end it.
Yeah.
Let's say it happens. Let's say the Lakers win 50 games, go 52-32. Does AD win the MVP?
Yes.
If he stays number one at defensive rating and continues to play like he is, absolutely, on both ends of the floor.
I love you guys.
I got timed out by Streamlabs.
Oh God!
It's on minimal protection right now. I don't understand how that is.
It's very invasive. I can't leave my long.
But then if I don't put it on there, guess who shows up? 69XXX, whatever.
The 69 is fine.
Why does Streamlabs care?
Because
I put caps in and they warned me. Caps.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I did a K dot stun.
If you give me a wrench, then I can block the spam.
What do you mean? All right. What is this? I can't put DPOY or what in the C? What's going on here?
All right. Well, you did, but we'll go ahead and turn it off for now. But again, once again, it's the Lakers do win in a very, very exciting game. Just a great performance by the
playoff
team.
Playoff environment,
absolutely. Yeah. A lot of tension going on there. It was really good. Really good to see the Lakers stick with it, 133-129. We will be back for the live watch party. Live watch party starts at 3:00 against the Washington Wizards. And then after that, what, about 5:30-ish, between 5:30 and 6, we'll be on the air for the post-game show right here at the Lakers Fast Break. Once again, if you haven't subscribed, you're missing all the fun here. And also, if you're missing live watch parties, you're missing a little live fun there. So, my gosh, the chat is amazing. You are the best chat in the world, but you guys go crazy.
I just want to say, Streamlabs, you don't owe me, bro.
The answer is no, Jordan. The answer is no, Jordan. I will not do the one chip challenge.
It wasn't a challenge. It was a joke.
Skynet. This isn't Skynet.
A joke.
Streamlabs, you don't own us.
I might do some hot wings or something, but yeah, that's probably.
We should do hot wings challenge, the whole panel.
I'm gonna do it right here, you guys. I'm gonna do the one beer challenge.
There you go.
It's gonna take about 30, 35 minutes.
We'll not do the one chip challenge. Sorry, but I will say though that if the Lakers do win 50 games,
tasty.
It'll certainly be a great time. Obviously be a great thing for us here at Lakers. Obviously be above any one of our expectations. So I think a lot of people out there did not expect the Lakers to be that good. Maybe even Laker Tom heading into the season, his enthusiasm started to fade as well. So this is something that's rebounded our faith tonight's victory. So hopefully we can take
rebounded.
That. Yes. Removing my eyebrows up and down.
We've got the puns going tonight, baby.
Hopefully we can take this momentum to Washington.
Have you noticed we've been saying that for like a week and a half?
I know. Again, I'm giving you credit. 2 weeks ago.
I don't need credit, okay? I got cash. I don't need
credit. You need extra credit.
I don't need that. What is this credit crap? Everybody needs credit.
$10 is enough, Joe.
But if you have any questions for us at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter,
everybody Venmo Ox 1947 $2 in the name of the Lord
for Joe.
I'll donate it to special needs kids.
Oh, bah, bah, bah,
bah. And you know who I'm talking about, people.
The Lakers Fast Break. Truly appreciate everybody watching and listening.
Dan's going to get a 1099 to pay taxes on that.
Yeah.
If you're in California, that's a problem, guys, just so you know.
Gerald just wants crypto money. He doesn't want Venmo money.
I just want to get out of here. But
yeah, send me Bitcoin. don't send me Dogecoin. Send me Bitcoin.
I got a headache. But I will say it's the Lakers Fast Break. Lakers,
you're going to have a bigger headache because the game's over now.
Yeah, so I see. So I see indeed. USC has just blown it. But I will say the Lakers do it 133-129. We will be back on Sunday. Hopefully you'll join us for that, for the live watch party. And of course, more debauchery, chicanery right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Dean Gerald, this is for you. Apple, thanks so much. Johnny2K6, thanks so much to Kenneth Stone returning after a long time. I don't know where he was at, but he's here back here now. Appreciate Howard Hill. Good night to you as well. Jordan Brown, thank you so much as always. Appreciate it. Johnny2K6. Everybody, Zangerstein, Petting My Cat, everybody was great in the chat room. Truly appreciate it. The world's best Lakers chat room is right here at the Lakers Fast Break. If you have any questions, you can leave it right on the video. Of course, you can also, if you get a chance, please go ahead at LakerHolics.com. Jamie Sweet's got his five things. Laker Tom's there. Of course, LakersBall.com, LakersBall.com. You've got Ox1947. You get more special quotes from Joe right there. So we'll see what happens when you check us out right there. Yes, special indeed. But it will be special, hopefully, on Sunday when we come back for more live watch party and, of course, our post game. Thanks so much for joining us. Hopefully, you will have as good a weekend as we are going to have, at least after, hopefully, the USC game is over. Maybe I can find something to drink after then. But Lakers Fast Break, hopefully, you'll join us on Sunday right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.